For our scripture reading here this morning, we're going to go back to the Old Testament book of Deuteronomy, which is the fifth book of the Bible. Looks like we're going to chapter number 19. And I'm going to read verses 15 through 21. And this will help kick us off for our message that comes up here in a little bit. Deuteronomy. The word Deuteronomy means second law. And that means that the law was given earlier in Exodus. In Deuteronomy, it's repeated. It's repeated a second time. The word Deuteronomy, second law. So Deuteronomy chapter 19, start with verse 15. You have your places? Amen. Okay, let's stand while God's word is being read. Looks like I've got seven verses to read here this morning. And this is from the Old Testament book. It says this: "One witness is not enough to convict a man accused of any crime or offense he may have committed. A matter must be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. If a malicious witness takes the stand to accuse a man of a crime, the two men involved in the dispute must stand in the presence of the Lord before the priest and the judges who are in office at that time. The judges must make a thorough investigation, and if the witness proves to be a liar, giving false testimony against his brother, then do to him as he intended to do to his brother. You must purge the evil from among you. The rest of the people will hear of this and be afraid, and never again will such an evil thing be done among you. Show no pity, life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot." Let's pray. Father, as we start this next commandment, this ninth commandment, Father, once again, I don't know how any one of these commandments, which ones that we struggle with, which ones that there are really no concern. I don't know what any of these commandments mean in our lives, Lord, except what they mean to me individually. But Father, maybe this commandment here is going to be speaking to somebody. But I don't know that. But Lord, I just pray, Lord, that the words of your scriptures and the meditation of what I'm about to say might help convince somebody, maybe somebody in here, maybe somebody who's going to hear this message on the internet someday, that lying is not really what they want to do. So, Lord, work in all of our hearts here today, and maybe you need to work a little harder in some others of us than some others. So I don't know that, Lord, you do. So I just, Lord, I pray for a transformation if that's what's needed. And I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. And you may be seated. Today is week number 28, our 28th week in our sermon series on the Ten Commandments. And today we're going to begin our study on the Ninth Commandment. So what is the Ninth Commandment? The Ninth Commandment can be found in Exodus chapter 20, verse 16. And the NASB translation says this: "You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor." That is the commandment, or as we would say today, you shall not lie. Don't lie. Don't be a liar. Now, I can say this right up front. The message here this morning is going to be probably more informational than it will be biblical or scriptural, but this will give us a foundation of some things. I think it is safe to say that every person that ever walked the face of this earth, besides Jesus, has told a lie sometime in their life. Even if it's just one, I believe we've all told at least one lie in our life. And it can be rather common in small children. But I would certainly hope that as we all got older, and certainly when we became Christians, that lying, telling things that aren't true, are not part of who we are any longer. But let's face it, many adults do lie. And you know some people out there. Who are those people? There are many websites that are dedicated solely to talk about people who are liars. I found one such website as I was doing my research this week, and the website is this, www.compulsivelyingdisorder.com. And it categorizes liars into five different categories. So here we go. According to this website, and I'm going to quote them because I don't want to be falsely accused of, what was that word I used last week? Plagiarism? Saying something and giving credits, not my credit. The credit goes to this website here. www.compulsivelyingdisorder.com says this. There are five different types of liars. Number one, and I'm going to quote this. First, we have the occasional liar. The occasional liar, and they say this. Occasional liars are those who seldom tell a lie. When they do, they are so blown away by what they said that their guilt overcomes them. These individuals are quick to ask for forgiveness from the individuals that they lied to. Occasional liars might not be perfect, but they are often respected for their attempts at being truthful and humble enough to admit when they are wrong. So, category number one, we have the occasional liar, and it sounds like it's the person who feels pretty guilty about doing it. The second category, they call this the white liars. The white liars. People who tell white lies don't usually think of themselves as true liars. They justify their white lies as harmless or even beneficial in the long term. They will sometimes tell only part of the truth and not be suspected of lying at all. White liars may use their lies to shield someone from what they believe is a hurtful or damaging truth. Now, I'm going to give you a real quick example. A story that my father told me back when he was in World War II and he was in the army and he was in France. And he said the Germans were all around and he went to this farm there in France. I don't know where he was. And they hid him upstairs and behind this secret access panel. Now, when the Germans came, they asked a couple questions. Are you harboring any American soldiers? No, they replied. Are you harboring any Jews? No, they replied. They did that. They lied to protect my father, who was upstairs, as he said, shaking in my britches as they were downstairs. But he was successfully hidden. But they lied about it to protect him. So that would be an example of a white liar in a way that they can protect somebody. Category number three, according to this website, is the careless liar. And they say this, careless liars will go about their normal lives and lie every way they can. This individual isn't concerned about trying to hide their lies or making sure they make sense. Everyone knows that the person isn't being honest because they tend to be sloppy with their lies. They don't have a lot of friends because most people get tired of hearing their twisted stories. I used to work with a guy at GE, and every time he came around, you knew whatever he was going to say. But when you know people like that, what do you... You don't want to hang around him because you know that the next thing out of his mouth is going to be a lie. But then we have category number four, according to this website, and they say this, and again, I'm quoting. This is called the compulsive liar. The compulsive liars are defined as someone who continually lies from sheer habit. Lying tends to be their normal manner of responding to any questions from others. These individuals will always bend the truth regardless of how small or large the question is. For these individuals, telling the truth doesn't feel right. They are uncomfortable whenever they tell the truth, while lying makes them feel right. Compulsive lying is often thought to manifest during childhood due to being put into situations and environments where lying became a necessity. Most of the time, compulsive liars aren't cunning or manipulative. Rather, they only lie because it has become such a habit to them. This automatic response is more difficult to break. It can end up taking its toll on being able to maintain a relationship. Many people also call these individuals pathological liars or habitual liars, but they all mean the same thing. So there we have four categories so far. We have the occasional liar, we have the white liar, the careless liar, the compulsive liar, and these kind of increase in severity till you get to the fifth category, according to this website. And this last category is called the sociopathic liar. Now, I don't know about you, but I like to watch a lot of TV shows like CSI or Law & Order SVU or something. And it's not unusual that they would say that, oh, that person's a sociopathic liar. So I didn't know exactly what that meant, but I do now. And I'm going to share that with you. A sociopathic liar. Sociopaths are defined as someone who lies continuously, here's the catcher, in an attempt to get their own way without showing care or concern for others. These individuals are goal-oriented. Even though it might seem hard to believe, lying is focused. They are focused on getting their own way. Sociopaths don't have a lot of respect or regard for the feelings and rights of others. They tend to be charismatic and charming, but they will use their exceptional social skills in a self-centered and manipulative manner. So there you have it. According to this particular website, compulsivelyingdisorders.com, they categorize liars into those five categories. Well, just as liars are categorized, so are the reasons why people lie. And I'm going to get more into this next week, looking at it more from a biblical, spiritual point of view. But there are categories why people lie. Why do people lie? Well, and I do have these listed in your bulletin. I'm going to go through them with you here real quickly. The University of Alabama at Birmingham Department of Psychiatry lists 10 reasons why people tell lies. People tell lies, and you can read along there with me. Number one, to avoid punishment. Number two, as an act of aggression. Number three, to obtain a sense of power. Number four, as wish fulfillment. Number five, to manipulate the behavior of others. Number six, to help another person. And that kind of goes along with that story I told earlier. Number seven, to accommodate others' self-deception. Number eight, as a solution to role conflict. I found that one rather easy. You know, two people were arguing. Let's just lie about it and let's just get this conflict over with. Number nine, to maintain self-esteem. And number 10, to create a sense of identity. So according to this Department of Psychiatry here at the University of Alabama at Birmingham, they list those 10 reasons why people tell lies. But here as Christians, here in this church, we could go on and on for a long time giving statistics and talking about the psychology and the psychiatry of liars and their lies. But the bottom line is this, there always has been, and there always will be people who are going to lie. We're going to meet them every day. Earlier, I read a passage from the Old Testament book of Deuteronomy, which talks about the fate of a witness who turns out to be a liar. And the passage is referring to a person who is falsely accusing a fellow Israelite. So let me do a little bit of role playing here with people who have the unfortunate thing of sitting up front. So here we go. It's going to go something like this. We're all Old Testament people living in the time of Israel. And there's Greg, who has done absolutely nothing. Greg is just minding his own Israelite business, okay? Not doing anything. He's just being a good old person. But we got me and Kay, all right? Me and Kay, we don't like old Mr. Goody Two-Shoes over there. So, Kay, let's make up something about Greg. Let's be false witnesses. So what me and Kay do, we make up something about Greg, and whatever we make up about him, we're going to accuse him of a certain something, and if he is found guilty, he's got to make the restitution or pay the penalty, whatever that is. But in this case, the judges and the priests, they find out that me and Kay, we're lying about this. We're making this all up. So the restitution that Greg would have had to pay, guess who has to pay it now? We do. So back in those days, what is one example they give in the Bible? Greg stole somebody's donkey, okay? That's what we say he did. He stole Kay's donkey. And I'm a witness, and I know that that's what happened. So we're going to make up this story, but we find out that it's false. So guess what Kay has to do and I have to do? We have to pay restitution to the man falsely accused. And that's the way it worked back in those days.
I'll take
Kay. Greg will take you want any cats to go along with that, Greg?
I'm paying him in cats.
So we find out, but what if we would accuse them of something serious? Like kidnapping. We talked about that when we talked about stealing. The Old Testament punishment for kidnapping, if you were found guilty, was you were put to death. You would be killed. So if we accused Greg of something as serious as that and found out that we were making this up, that we were false witnesses, that we were liars, then that punishment would be on us. And so why does God do that? We said that even if the penalty was as severe as death, the penalty would be enforced would go against the false witnesses, against us. But that passage that I read earlier from Deuteronomy, it says this: you got to purge the evil from among you. And then it says this: show no pity. The judgment and the punishment was swift. A life for a life, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, a hand for a hand, a foot for a foot. It wouldn't take no time at all. If Kay and I were found to be false witnesses, we would be taken out back and or taken outside the camp and stoned if that was the case. And I'm going to say this again, just Pastor Mike's opinion. Boy, do I wish the United States of America would adopt some of the principles that happened back in the Old Testament Israelites. Oh, gee, I don't think we'd be in the mess that we're in today. Just my opinion. So let's talk about a court of law today. In a court of law today, since we're talking about that, we expect the witness that's on the stand, who is under oath, who has sworn on a what? A Bible. We expect that person, that man or woman, to tell what? The truth. We expect them to tell the truth. And when the witness gives false testimony, in today's court in the United States, we call that what? Who knows what we call that? Perjury. We call that perjury. That's what perjury is. According to website www.hg.org, which is a legal resources website, it says this about perjury. It says this, and I quote, "Perjury is a criminal act that occurs when a person lies or makes statements that are not truthful while under oath. For example, if a person is asked to testify in a criminal proceeding and they are under oath, but do not tell the truth, they can be charged with perjury if it is discovered that they have lied. By committing perjury, people partake in the miscarriage of justice and corrupt the legal process. As a result, perjury is considered a very serious criminal offense. even though most people who lie under oath do not consider it to be very serious. When people commit perjury, they disrupt the legitimate discovery of truth. For this reason, people who are charged with perjury may face a variety of severe legal ramifications if they are convicted. Some of these legal consequences may include having to spend time in jail, probation, or paying fines to the court. It can also interfere with their ability to obtain employment or security clearance, as they will be convicted of a crime of dishonesty. End quote. And as I was reading that and writing that down here, the only thing I could think of was, I think it was back in the 90s, somewhere between 1992 and the year 2000, when a very important man in our country stood up before the whole country and said, "I did not have sex with that woman." And what happened to President Bill Clinton? His approval ratings went up because the American people thought, hey, he's just like us. He's just like us. A golden opportunity to go above the law and to be a bigger person. And some people just couldn't go there. There are consequences for breaking this ninth commandment in a court of law. But let's face it, most of us are not sitting on a witness stand in a court of law somewhere, ready to be questioned by the prosecution or the defense lawyers. So why do we tell lies? Now, there was a list that I gave you earlier. There's 10 reasons why people tell lies. And so why do we do it? And there might be more reasons above and beyond that. And I kind of want to end today by telling you the biggest lie that I ever told. It's story time with Pastor Mike. Here's my biggest lie. At least I consider it the biggest lie that I ever told. I think it's a pretty good story. And what I want you to do is, as I'm telling the story and telling you how I lied, you can go down through those 10 reasons there and kind of say, oh, it was probably this one, that one, that one, this one. My biggest lie goes like this. When I was back in high school, I graduated from high school in 1971 from Brentwood High School in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. If anybody, and I'll say this, my high school had about 800 students, ninth grade through 12th grade, so about 200 students per class. If anybody knew me, they knew me as the guy who played in the band. I was the guitar player in the band. That's kind of who they knew me by, because our band was pretty famous, and we always played for any of the local events that were going on, and they always called us and would play, and you know, you kind of got a little bit, some popularity there from being the guitar player in the band. And I kind of like that notoriety, to be honest with you. But that was, and I graduated in 1971. And I still remember when we were graduating, some people thought, well Mike, maybe someday, you know, we'll see your name in lights as a musician or as a songwriter or something. And I thought, yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's right. So here it is 5 years later. It's our five-year class reunion on July the 9th of 1976. And I'm thinking, all these classmates are going to come back together. And we're all going to have stories. What did we do in the last 5 years? What could we? How were we successful? Did we accomplish anything? I knew one thing. I went prepared. Nobody in the Brentwood High School class of 1971 was going to outdo me. So we go in there, and everybody's telling their stories. And I remember, and it's funny, when you go back to a high school reunion, the cliques are still cliques, aren't they? You know, yes. You still hang around with the same people you hung around with. You know, your 50-year class reunion, you're still hanging around with the same people, you know. So hanging around this group of people, and everybody's asking everybody, what are you doing now? And some people just had, I'm working at the steel mill, you know. Nothing big. Some people had some pretty elaborate stories, and they were pretty impressive. But it came to Mike. And I said, well, I live in Waynesboro, Virginia. And I work for General Electric. And I'm an electronic technician. And they thought that that's pretty good. But that's not what's important. I said, I've written some songs. And I've contacted some people. And there's going to be a very popular band that right now, me and them, we are in discussions about them buying my song, buying my copyright, and performing my song, and they think it's going to be a hit. Well, Mike, that's great. Who's the band? Let's turn back the Hands of Time. Remember this? I said, it's the Captain and Tennille. I would have said ABBA, but they were from Sweden, okay? Well, the Captain and Tennille, if you remember, back in 1976, they were one of the hottest things going. I mean, they had hit song after hit song. They had a TV variety show. They had everything going. Why not pick the biggest one? And then I mean, and these guys and these girls are looking. And then Bill Beaumont said exactly what my itching ears wanted to hear. Well, Mike, you know, if this goes through, this will make you the most successful person in this class. And I'm thinking to myself, that's right. It was all a lie. Every last bit of it. It was all a lie. I made it all up. Made it all up. I lied because I wanted to make myself look better than anybody else in that class. So, if I was to go back through this list, why did I tell that lie? To avoid punishment? No. To act as an act of aggression? No. To obtain a sense of power? Maybe a little. As wish fulfillment? Possibly. To manipulate the behaviors of others? I manipulated Bill Beaumont. To help another person? Absolutely not, because it was all about me. To accommodate others' self-deception? Of course, I deceived them all. As a solution to rule conflict? No. To maintain self-esteem? It made me feel really good. And to create a sense of identity? Look, everybody, look who I am. It was all a big fabricated lie. And I told it. And the thing about it was, is for the longest time, I felt really good about it. And what happens if you tell yourself a lie often enough? You almost do what?
Believe it.
You believe it. You almost convince yourself that this is true. Well, I'm here to say that I have no idea who the Captain and Tennille are, although, I mean, I do know who they are. I never sent them anything. I made it all up so I could appear better than everybody else. And they bought it, hook, line, and sinker. So, is this commandment repeated in the New Covenant? And we'll just end with this. Yes, it is. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 4, it tells us this, that anyone who does not do what Jesus commands is a liar. And 1 John 2, 22 tells us that anyone who denies that Jesus is the Christ is a liar. 1 John chapter 4, verse 20 tells us whoever claims to love God yet hates his brother or sister is a liar. And in 1 John chapter 5, verse 10 tells us that whoever does not believe the testimony that God has given about his own son Jesus is a liar. So, the book of 1 John tells us in four different places that there are things that we can do, not do, believe, whatever, that and it is repeated, and it makes people out to be liars. Well, that's just kind of a foundation, a kind of something to build on. But next week, we're going to go in back into this ninth commandment, and we're going to start at the book of Genesis and see where all of this whole thing about lying began, how it began, talk a little bit about half-truths and things like that, and even what the book of Revelation has to say about liars. So we're not done with this lying thing yet. So we're going to go at least two more weeks on this, and I'm not lying either. We're going to go at least two more weeks. Let's pray.